6:30, I'll start the meeting. Welcome to the General Council meeting of City of Marion. Full of surprises, I reckon, even if I'm the only one. We acknowledge the Kaurna people, the traditional custodians of this land. We pay our respects to their elders past and present. Everyone's advised that the audio of this General Council meeting will be recorded, will be made available on the City of Marion website. Does anyone foreshadow a conflict of interest in the items on the agenda? Well, I can do without them, maybe if I speak without the microphone, but any foreshadowed conflicts of interest, Councillor Telfer?
I adjourn Kenton Avenue Reserve, and so I have a conflict of interest, actual conflict of interest, when we look at irrigation as part of the annual business plan.
Right, well, we'll take advice from governance about how to sever that if we can, rather than exclude you from the whole budget. Councillor Westwood.
Matters regarding Strutt Court Reserve, I would have to claim a conflict of interest as my son and his family live across the road from there. Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, just remind us when that issue comes up. Keep moving on. Would someone like to move confirmation of the minutes? Move to Councillor Telfer, seconded to Councillor Pryor. All those in favour? It's carried unanimously. Thank you. The okay, after a motion for the communication reports to be received. That's the mayoral, deputy mayor, elected member and chief executive, etc. report. Moved to Councillor Pfeiffer, seconded to Councillor Pryor. All those in favour? It's carried unanimously. Thank you. Now we have the opportunity, as the second meeting in the month, for verbal reports from elected members. Councillor Hull, then Councillor Telfer.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I need to report that today I lodged an appeal on behalf of residents in the Oaklands Park area in regards to the approved extension to a phone tower in the Warradale Army Barracks. That will probably take a month before that's called. The other thing to report is that I believe the member for Boothby is still working on her efforts to lobby the Minister for Defence, Maurice Payne, to also intervene and hopefully deny landlords' consent to that proposal, as was the case nearly 15 years ago when it was last proposed. In the report tonight, there's an item that hasn't been identified well. It is related, but it really should have the header potential cancer cluster rather than being telco tower, because we're not exactly sure what's causing it. On a more pleasant note, on Sunday I participated in a tree planting day at the Oaklands wetland. We did a waterline planting with quite a number of people turned up. Actually, it was well attended, and we managed to achieve a significant planting there and also provide protective covers for those plantings, because the water birds have a habit of coming and scratching the new plantings out. So without taking up too much time tonight, I just thought I'd make that contribution.
Thanks, Councillor Hull. Just seeking confirmation with the telco tower. Your name is actually on the appeal, is it? Right, so it's the residents who are appealing.
The resident has officially lodged the appeal. I just so happen to be making representations on her behalf, as I did last time.
All right, thanks for the clarification. Councillor Telfer.
Today I attended a digital transformation workshop, and I was amazed by the offers out there for the amount of information that we can gather on our people and for our people as customers. My main concern is that most of our efforts, I believe, perhaps need to be spent on integrating all the systems that we have for collection of data, for such things as asset management and our project management we're planning to put in place. So I have a big interest in the digital support of all the different systems that we have through council and how they're integrated. The other quick point I want to make is that I went to Cosgrove Hall last night, which is the old Marion High School hall, and I realised that we have bitten off more than we expected to do with our commitment to get our community halls and facilities to a standard. I think we may need to look at greater support and expenditure than we imagined on our existing halls.
Thank you. A couple of points I'll just note. When we went through the reports, it's only a minor thing, but hopefully the clerical error can be corrected in the minutes without need for a motion. But on page 18, the heading is Mayoral Communications Report, and that should be Deputy Mayor Communication Report. So I presume that can be fixed up in the minutes. Governance will tell me if we need a motion to correct it.
Your item, you're not going to find it because it's just listed as a telco tower amongst many others. The key words won't be found, that's what I'm saying.
You had an opportunity, Councillor, when the draft budget came out, to address the issue of the subject matter of the question, and it's been printed in the agenda as such. I don't know how you're going to change that now that it's in the agenda under that topic. I'll ask Ms. McKenzie, Governance Manager, for advice on that.
Through the Chair, the question's been listed in the agenda based on the title that's come through, is my understanding. We retain a minute index. We can probably note on the minute index the address or the location that may help find it into the future.
At the moment, it has the address, the street address of the telco tower. But, Councillor, if you want to bring in a contentious title of subject matter, such as cancer-causing tower or the like, then you'd need to do that by motion because that would not be automatically adopted by staff.
There's just been some licence in terms of how it's been titled. That's all I'm saying, Mr. Mayor.
Well, at the end of the day, anything can be changed within reason through council motion. So if you want to, I don't know how you're going to change it now that it's in the agenda, and you've had a chance to change it before it was actually printed as the final agenda, and you haven't done that. So I guess you can come back later with a motion to sort of change the minutes and change the way it's stored or something like that, if that's what you want to spend your time on.
You make an excellent point. I'll follow it up with a motion.
Rightio. The other point I wanted to make, I wanted to welcome one of our two GAP students, GAP year students, I should say. Bree is here. She's another Seaview High graduate, and she's here to enjoy the theatre of this evening's performance. She's with the governance team at the moment. Those students spend a year rotating through the various departments of the City of Marion, and the previous year's students derived an enormous amount of satisfaction and learning from their year. I hope that's the same for you as well, Bree. Thank you for coming along. The only other point I'll make quickly is that I've got the two agendas before me. One's the correct one, one's the incorrect one. So I'm going to be going back and forth between the two. That might be interesting later on, but for now we'll just keep going. Any other verbal communications, reports? Then, all right, I'll keep going. We're now up to the adjourned item on page 21, Statewide Industrial Relations Agreements. Councillor Kerry.
This motion was adjourned at the last meeting, but in essence, just to give people an idea, what's happening is that at the moment we have 68 agreements, both outdoor and indoor, and it's a story of local government duplication. For decades, each has negotiated its own enterprise agreements for indoor and separately for outdoor staff. Effectively, this means 136 agreements negotiated every 3 years or so. It's a huge burden on the time and resources of the very council, and a more efficient approach to all would be for the Local Government Association to take a leading role in managing industrial relations. It's an important, I think it's a very important aspect that needs to be taken on. The LGA set up a committee in relation to this, and it would actually help the committee if there's actually a motion at the next Local Government Association meeting. So I commend the motion. I think that I've had discussions with a number of people, and I think the gist of the motion is that there's some sense in pursuing it with the LGA.
Very well.
And I'm also happy the motion be put, and with the CEO contributing to any amendments for the LGA general meeting.
Right, so if just to clarify for members, it was originally put on the agenda, it was left on the table, it was brought back, and most members spoke at the last meeting, the last time it was before council. So the motion is now up for decision as to the substance of the matter. As you can see, asking the LGA annual general meeting, the next one's held in October, as you can read on the screen. So I'm prepared to put the motion now. All those in favour, raise your hand. All those against, that's carried by majority. Thank you. All right. On page 26, Westall Way Reserve, and we have a deputation from Katrina Winderbank. Please come forward. We'll make a space for you at the front here, speaking on behalf of Sally Ann Lloyd, and it's in relation to the potential removal of playground equipment at Westall Way Reserve Shadow Park. She's provided a presentation. Do members have that in front of them? It's on the desks there. Yes, good. So you have 5 minutes, but that allows time for questions as well. So if you can do it in less than five, that's great. Thanks very much. And you'll get advice on how to use the microphone there. Thank you, Katrina.
Okay. Sally Ann is a ratepayer of the City of Marion who lives very close to the Westall Way Reserve, which has been marked for playground removal. Next slide. This playground has been frequently used before and after school by the children and parents of the Shadow Park Community School community. As it's located directly across from the school entrance, Shadow Park School has 350 students and the school itself uses the facilities and the park four times a week. This park is regularly used by the surrounding community that are in close proximity. Next slide. Like many others in the community, this playground has become an extension of Sally Ann's backyard. Whilst on maternity leave, Sally Ann would visit the playground with her daughter and spend some fun bonding time together. She still visits the playground three times a week when she returns from work and multiple times on the weekend. With the playground removal from Westall Way Reserve, this will have a high impact on the surrounding playgrounds, which have not been catered for the possibility of more children being there at the same time. Next slide. From the latest census report conducted in 2006, the suburb of Shiloh Park had approximately 11,789 children aged between 0 and 11 years of age. These children make up 13.3% of the Shiloh Park population. Next slide. The suburb of Shiloh Park has a total of 7 playgrounds which are catering up for 11,000 children. One that has been marked with a cross is located in the suburb of Hallett Cove across the Lonsdale Highway. Next slide. This slide shows the West Albury Reserves and the surrounding homes, which equates to approximately 700 homes. Within the proximity of these homes, there are 3 active playgrounds, including the West Albury Reserve, which is marked for removal. Next slide. The area within closest proximity to the West Albury Reserve contains 238 children aged between 0 and 11 years of age. If she includes the children aged between 12 and 17 years of age, this would be another 108 children. Within the population of this slide, we also have 36% of the people aged between 50 and 84 years, therefore a greater possibility of grandparents that would be babysitting or having grandkids visit and use the park as well. Next slide. Sally Ann does not believe it would be beneficial for the community to have West Albury Reserve Playground removed, leaving only 2 playgrounds in the area that does not have enough equipment to service the children and the families in the area. Next slide. The City of Unley were happy to provide Sally Ann with the costing of a playground equipment which is located at Unley Oval. This area is approximately 60 square metres and cost them $120,000 to install. It equates to a cost of $6,000 per annum over the 20-year life of the equipment. Sally Ann believes the ratepayers would consider a small amount considering the operating surplus in the annual report for the City of Marion 2016-2017 was $11,773,000, which was meant to provide funding for renewal, replacement and upgrade to community assets. Next slide. This is a 2004 report. It was conducted by Deakin University, which is located in Geelong. It's 38 pages long. And it focuses on encouraging children to be active. I've got a copy here if you wish to read it further. Basically, this report highlights the impact, the importance of playground equipment and the benefit it has on tackling obesity and diabetes in young children. This report shows that public spaces need features to promote physical activity and to supply age-appropriate playgrounds. Next slide. The conclusion of the report, first sentence says, one of the key findings suggests that playgrounds are important for children's activities and continues on saying that the facilities and the features of parks, particularly in playgrounds, are important and impact on the children's interest in using these open spaces. Last slide. Children love meeting other children at the park, whether they play beside each other or interact. Playing at the park is a natural way for children to initiate and develop friendship. They take turns, share and respect each other. Play equipment helps children to develop their gross motor skills. Children jump, climb, crawl, swing, push and hang. Kids and play equipment are a perfect match for growth and development. Sally Ann is speaking on behalf of the community and would like the council to please reconsider the removal of this playground. Thank you. So she crammed a lot in.
Thank you. Oh, there you go. You've had some applause at least. Do councillors have any quick questions? Councillor Valesky.
Thank you for coming and representing your community. Sorry, I was late. I was just wondering if anyone had told you when the new agenda came out that in point two, council was actually recommending to retain the reserve.
Unfortunately, Sally Ann has gone overseas and she probably wasn't aware of that. So I'll let her know.
Well, I'll just be... I think that needs clarification.
Yeah.
In the council agenda, given the community feedback, and we do listen to the community, staff are recommending to the elected members who make the decision that the playground be retained. That's what Councillor Valesky is alluding to. But what we'll do shortly, if the meeting agrees, we'll go straight to the decision-making process, and so that you'll actually be able to walk away knowing what council has decided, which I'm sure would be satisfying one way or the other. Now, questions? Councillor Byram?
Well, I particularly wanted to say thank you to Katrine. I know how difficult it was for you to get up. Sally Ann did contact me, and I know that it was very nerve-wracking when she knew she had to be overseas and you had to come in and present her words. So
she owes me.
Yes, she does.
Councillor Byram, is that a question?
Sorry. Yes. No.
Right. Well, that was my question answered. Any further questions? No.
All right. Thanks very much.
very briefly. I think it's I know the experience of parents and students in that area and from that school, and that park certainly is valuable to a lot of the students that come from that school. And I thank the Speaker for coming.
Any opposition? Then I'll put the motion. All those in favour of noting the petition, that's carried unanimously. Thank you. Now, by leave of the Council, if we go to page 49, that's the relevant item on the agenda relevant to the deputation. All right, if there's no objection, then Councillor Byron to move.
Just wanted to clarify potential conflict of interest.
All right, procedural question, Councillor Valescu.
My house is on the map nearby, so just near the Clare Avenue Reserve as well. So I just wanted to note whether, I just wanted to get some advice whether me voting to retain, whilst I personally support it, but me being in the room to vote to retain it, is a conflict, and if so, it can be a separate motion, because I do want to wish a vote on the other items which are within my ward and the rest of the motion.
Well, look, these things are best organised before the General Council meetings, but I'll ask the Governance Manager to advise. Thank you.
Through the Chair, without knowing the exact location of the property, it makes it a little bit difficult to advise. But if you feel you have a conflict, then obviously you should declare it and leave. If you feel it's a perceived conflict, you may remain in the room and vote on it.
If you want to be safe, this is your concern, Councillor Valescu, is in relation to the Westall Avenue Reserve, Westall Way rather. If you want to take the safe option, it's probably to acknowledge that there may be a perceived conflict of interest, unless you think that some improvement to the Westall Way Reserve might actually increase the value of your property, in which case maybe it is a conflict of interest.
I think it's probably far enough away, but I do want to address the perceived conflict of interest.
Then that'll be noted, and you may stay in the room and vote, and the way you vote will be recorded, so that neatly solves the problem. So you're just noting that you reside nearby. That should be sufficient. Councillor Byram to proceed. Thank you.
Yes, I would like to move this motion. And point two, I do want to, as it is written there, but also want to make note that the staff have recommended that the path needs repair and wanted to ask the question whether we should be including that comment in that point two.
Ms. Dixon.
So, all right, then I will move the motion as printed.
And go ahead and speak to it if you wish.
Thank you, Your Worship. Yes, so Westall Way, we do need to retain that park. We've had the feedback from the community, and that one is needed. It really, when we go back and we look at it and we look at our guidelines of distances from playgrounds, we really should not have had this one come up perhaps as being removed. It really should be within the mix still. So I am pleased to state that one should remain as staying on our playground list. And the others, I will let other members talk to them if they wish.
Now, I note that Councillor Westwood left the chamber on account of the conflict of interest he explained. Is there a seconder? Councillor Crossland, please go ahead.
Thank you, Your Worship. I don't really have a lot to say. Look, I had a look at these, well, particularly this Westall Way playground today. Look, I also believe that it actually meets our policy to stay, and it is a well-used playground before and after school, so I'd like to vote in favour of that.
Is anyone speaking against the motion as printed? If not, then there's no need to close the debate. I'll simply put it to a vote. All those in favour, raise your hand. It's carried unanimously. Thank you. So we will be advising the head petitioner, but Ms. Winderbank, you can let people know that Council has actually listened to what the community said. And this is the way we actually need to operate. Sometimes we need to put it out there. Does anyone care out in the community? And when they say they do care, we listen. So, thank you. We'll go along to the next item. So, the minutes of committees. We can probably deal with both of these en bloc. On pages 36 and 42 of the agenda. Would anyone like to move that those minutes be received? Moved Councillor Pfeiffer, seconded Councillor Crossland. The one comment I wanted to make in relation to that is the practice of recording every significant point that's made in discussion sometimes doesn't give the full council the flavour or the tone of the discussion. And I must say, when the point was raised about whether we even need to use the smart city concept, at least internally, there was a lot of support around the table from elected members to say that it's about innovation, it's about using technology and data to improve how we do business, improve customer service, but we don't necessarily need the tag of smart city to do that, acknowledging at the same time that externally, if state or federal government have smart city funding grants and so on, then obviously we do need to fit things within grant categories, but it's such an amorphous, vague term that it can lead us astray if we're not very clear about what we're doing with technology and data. In other words, there'll be a motion later encouraging council to think about it strategically and not just do new fashioned things just because we can. Did anyone else want to comment on the deliberations of either of those two committees, either infrastructure and strategy or review and selection? Then I'll put it to a vote. All those in favour? It's carried unanimously. Thank you. So we move on to the next item of business. We up to confidential items. Now we have several confidential items. With apologies to those in the gallery, we'll clear the gallery and just ask you to wait outside in the foyer or outside in the cold if you wish. And it's always hard to know how long we'll take. It might be 5-10 minutes, might be half an hour, but we have to deal with these matters in confidence, so please excuse us for that. Mr. O'Hanlon, you're not in for the first one. So we're first dealing with the Infrastructure and Strategy Committee confidential minutes. The first blue paper. No, but does anyone want to move that confidential motion? Councillor Crossland, is that seconded? Councillor Pfeiffer? Any discussion? All those in favour, raise your hand. That's all those against. I think it's carried unanimously.
I did send a question earlier to staff and I just hadn't had an answer yet. Is anyone able to assess the value of the land that we're talking about, the new site? Because that should be...
Yeah, through the chair, thank you.
I had a question about if the motion comes forward, would the movers be prepared to consider a sentence like the Mitcham Council be consulted?
All right, just hold that thought. I'll
wasn't sure where you're coming from there, but something for Councillor Byrne to... I'm going to give her the call in a moment, but Mr Salmon, what was your reflection on that question?
Through the Chair, we haven't had time to get a proper valuation done, but just a high-level assessment, looking at the size of the site, it's about 3 hectares, probably 2 hectares of it is developable, and the location would indicate it's worth quite a few million dollars. I don't want to be held account to picking a number out of the air, but I'd say at least 4 or 5.
Thank you. I just wanted an assurance that that figure will be added on to the cost that the City of Marion are spending on this development, because it should be considered.
We're going to take evaluation as part of the investigation. We could do that early in the case, early in the piece, and see what it is and report back through the INS committee or to council.
Well, if the motion as printed is passed,
It doesn't mandate a report back, but no doubt that would come back through infrastructure and strategy committee and then to council as a matter of high priority. Would that be right, Mr. Salmon?
Yes, that's correct.
All right. Councillor Byrne to move. And
can I ask a question too?
Yes,
you, Worship.
Go ahead.
Just to follow on from Councillor Telfer's comment about consulting the City of Mitcham, can I ask why that she would like that included?
I think it's because City of Mitcham residents might be affected potentially by noise coming from across South Road.
Are there City
in answering that? I have been on the Darlington South Road upgrade with liaison groups for the last 2 years. I believe that if there is any development on this site, it is important to be working early with that community of Bedford Park rather than surprise them later.
It might be the suburb of Darlington, but regardless of that, the City of Mitcham residents.
Well, behind the McDonald's on the other side and the servo, I believe that is Onkaparinga, because Onkaparinga Council have been talking to me about their residence there.
Well, that's an interesting point. Mr. Salmon, have you got the map there? You got the boundaries in front of you?
Through the Chair, I don't have the map, but my... Yes, through the Chair, the South Road is our boundary with City of Onkaparinga, and therefore those residents behind the commercial businesses across the other side of South Road are in City of Onkaparinga.
Right, well, I know Flinders University is in Mitcham, so the boundary must be pretty close there.
Sturt Creek.
Sturt Creek? Thank you, Councillor Pfeiffer.
Oh, so, yeah.
So that answers that question. So there's City of Onkaparinga residents. And Mr. Salmon, just on that point, has City of Onkaparinga already been made aware of the prospect of this site?
Yes, they have.
Okay. So I'll leave it to you, Councillor Byrne.
Thank you, Your Worship. So I do want to move the motion as in is printed there. We do need to investigate this site fully at Darlington, and that while we do that, that the Majors Road site is put on hold. Just to give a little bit of a report back from the PAG and also the discussions we've had with BMX Australia, we've had telephone conferences with them, and we've had 2 PAG meetings in the last couple of weeks regarding this. The BMX people actually are very excited about this new site at Darlington, and we are working through all of the possibilities of problems. The sound issue we have been looking at, and we want to get a sound report on it, but the BMX people are saying that there's also a two-way sound problem here, sound possibly for the starters at the gate. And so they are also discussing what are the possibilities for looking at those sound problems. But as I say, most of them are excited about this site and the potential that this site does offer us. There is problems with trying to put in a future freestyle park and a future pump track. So it is probably going to be that we're just looking at the track and how infrastructure can be moved into this site for future big events. I must say that I went for a walk down there yesterday to have a look and a bit of bush bashing on the ridge between the expressway and the construction site. And it does look like it's going to be quite an exciting site for BMX. We do need to check out the drainage issues and all the runoff from all the roads there as well, but BMX themselves need a lot of drainage from the track also, and so it's going to be an exciting site in that we can probably marry up a lot of those things together. So at the moment there's a lot of positives coming out with looking at this site, and so many positives and excitement that we really do need to investigate this site.
Is that seconded?
Wish to speak?
Thank you, Worship. Look, I will do only very briefly. I think it's got to the point with the Majors Road site. Now, that's still on the books. However, it's well worth us having a look at where else we can potentially get the same and equal or possibly a better facility that all parties are satisfied with, and hopefully for a better price as well. And I think, look, it doesn't hurt to look around. I've been pushing for quite some time through Infrastructure and Strategy Committee to look at alternative sites. I think this hits the brief. It is an alternative site. It does preliminary consideration looks much better. And so it's worth us at least doing the due diligence on this site and seeing what comes up.
Thank you. Anyone speaking against? And I'll put the motion. All those in favour? All those against? Carried by majority. Thank you. So on to the third budget review, page 79. I'll start off with any questions. All right, well, I've got one. Looking at the operating position on page 79... the reclassification of operating expenditure to capital, that seems to knock our budget around by $1 million. So how can it be that had to be reclassified? And the second question is, at the bottom of that list, reclassification of capital to operating, but it doesn't refer to, at least not in the headline, it doesn't refer to what that item is. So can that be explained as well, please? Mr. Barnwell.
Sure. Through the Chair. The reclassification, the $1,983,000 reclassification of the operating expenditure capital relates to the LED lighting project. Initially, we council endorsed a contribution to the LED lighting. We were understanding that we were contributing to the project. We now know that we have to classify that project as we have to own the assets. So we have to classify it from operating down to... It has no funding impact, but it's classified from operating down to capital because we would be the owners of those light fittings. The other...
Sorry, just while you're on that one, Mr. Barnwell, does that affect our surplus? It'll affect our operating surplus, won't it?
It'll affect your operating surplus, but not your funding surplus. It has no funding impact at all.
Okay, thank you. And the other one?
The other one relates to... a number of projects where there is projects have an operating and a capital element, we will initially mark them as capital, but there is some sort of operating element such as landscaping thing which has got to come out of projects. So things like streetscaping where Finnish Street, Railway Terrace, where there's works carried out on non-council land as well, we have to classify that as operating because we don't actually own the asset. So whilst it is capital, well, we classify as capital works initially, there is operating elements within that capital project which get reclassified as the project progresses.
Okay, so if we build something on someone else's land, are you saying it's classified as operating, not capital?
It's not actually our asset, so we can't classify it as capital.
Okay. So take the soccer project on Halloran Hill, for example. Is that $2.5 million out of operating expenditure, but not capital?
If we're not the owner of that facility and land, that will be a cash contribution which will come out of operating, not capital.
Yeah. All right, thanks for clarification. Any other questions, Councillor Hull?
Here tonight, when we dealt with Westwell Way Reserve, the representor made reference to last year's operating surplus, which was quite a lot. Given that we're getting close to the end of the financial year now, what is the projected financial surplus this year?
through the Chair. The projected financial surplus at this point in time is $6.3 million. Council originally budgeted for just over $5 million surplus, but bearing in mind that that surplus actually goes on to feed capital projects and capital expenditure as well. So the funding surplus was a balanced funding position, which is zero, but we're forecasting a $1.2 million funding surplus. But the operating is 6.3 at this point in time against an originally adopted over $5 million surplus.
It's largely as a consequence of carryovers, projects that haven't been completed.
And the operating surplus carryovers have no impact on the operating surplus because they're capital projects, they're down below, so they have no impact on the...
Yeah, but I mean, like, if it's parks and gardens or footpath replacement, that's what you're talking about.
No, footpath replacement, that'd be a renewal expenditure, which would be capital.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. So what's the potential decrease from the figure that the lady was talking to before about last year to what it is now? So I'm just trying to get my head around whether we are actually on the right downward plane or are we still climbing in terms of surpluses?
Our forecast surplus was $5 million with 6.3. So I think I don't have the actuals for last year with me, but we're obviously predicting a higher surplus. We have some savings in there which are coming through, so we have $1.2 million in funding savings coming through this year now. So we are predicting a higher surplus from that, which will be a funding surplus of 1.218, I think.
Right. Someone to move. Councillor Crossland has a question.
First question. The lady mentioned a sum that we were well over $11 million in surplus last year. Is that correct?
Mr. Nissen.
Right. Through the Chair, that's the operating position. I think, as we've discussed with members on a few occasions previously, we need to focus on what the cash position is. So the cash position obviously has to take into consideration all of Council's contributions for capital renewal and new capital projects. When you take that into consideration, as Mr. Barnwell's highlighted, the cash position in the budget for this year was break-even. We've now identified some cash savings, which amounts to $1.2 million. So once again, in terms of all of Council's operations, we need to look at that whole picture, not just the operating component. It's only one component of all the services Council delivers.
Okay, so we're looking like we're going to have an actual cash surplus of about $1.2 million.
That is correct.
Through the Chair, second question, if I may, Worship. The information we got from SWARA, that's not confidential any longer. Is that something I can talk about?
It's going to be announced this evening in two reports' time, but you can do it now if you like.
It's just really a question. So I'll leave the figures then for later, but obviously we're receiving a cash amount from our waste recycling subsidiary of around $750,000. That's cash back to the City of Marion, cash back to ratepayers. Would it be correct that if we do actually realise those savings back to ratepayers, we could reduce our rate next year to about 1% by my calculation?
True, that's correct. A 1% is approximately $760,000, so it's about correct.
Thank you. Councillor Telfer, then. Right. Is that seconded? Well, you've had a couple already. I might give you... Councillor Hull, to the point.
$103,000. What's brought that about?
People parking their own way, I expect.
Well, you can make light of it, Mr. Mayor, but it is a serious question. Are we deploying different strategies to actually catch people out, or are we using smart technology, or what's happening there?
Ms. Dixon.
Through the Chair, this year there's been a renewed focus on parking both at Westfield but also through the school zones and the bike lanes as well, so there's been an increased focus on that. There were some vacancies in the previous year, so there was that also reduced the income last year.
My last question, Mr. Mayor, it's good to hear about the dividend we're going to get from our waste management group down at Peddlers Creek. We could use that $750,000 for all sorts of things, but I'd like to see it for environmental, come from an environmental
Do you have a question?
Site. The question is, I'm told that they're holding $20 million in their account, $20 million in their account, and nothing to show for that in terms of innovation or any substantial innovation, which I've been calling for. So when are they going to actually...
Sorry, Councillor,
there's
a report in relation to council subsidiaries, a couple of reports down in the agenda.
Can you hold that question for me, please?
Yes, just remind me to come back to it. Thanks, Councillor Hull. The motion is seconded by Councillor Hutchinson. All those in favour? That's carried unanimously. Thank you. So now we go on to page... Help me out here. 94, and this is just the public consultation on the draft annual business plan. So please note, members, there's not likely to be any conflict of interest in respect of this because we're not actually making a decision on dollars. We're just noting the feedback, which I could summarise as an overwhelming, enthusiastic, affirmative response to our draft budget through the almost complete silence of the residential population. Now, is that moved? Councillor Telfer?
I move a couple of additions that in the Open Space and Recreation Works Program 2018-19, tennis and netball courts include the Seagham Heights Tennis and Netball Courts, Warrapuringa. And also on page 210.
Well, we're on the wrong subject, aren't
we? There's a point of order by Councillor Hull. I will seek clarification from staff, but I'd ask councillors such as Councillor Hull not to interject in the middle of members' contributions. So, Councillor Telfer, will you just finish what you're going to say, then I'll seek advice on administration about the best way to proceed.
All right. And secondly, includes Seagham Heights tennis court and netball courts on page 210 with funds to be advised on June the 12th meeting.
So the question is, in terms of members introducing budget items, is this the time or are staff recommending some alternative process? Mr. Musa?
Thank you, through the Chair. Tonight's report is specifically in relation to the conclusion of the public consultation feedback process. We can certainly take on board Councillor Telfer's suggestion and bring that forward for Council's consideration on the 12th of June Council report.
So, Councillor Telfer, are you happy
All
to
right,
bring
I'm
that back?
I'm happy just to move that then. It's fine.
Thank you. And by the way, I think that... I uphold Councillor Hull's point of order, but it was under control. You don't need to run the meeting from there, Councillor Hull. It might have been less confusing if we actually didn't have the business plan attached to the agenda, you know, with another 40 pages, because all that we really had to supply with this agenda item was the feedback, not the plan again. And I think that might have led members astray to some extent. So, if we're just talking about noting the feedback, it might be a fair question, though. This draft plan that's in this council agenda, are there any modifications from the previous time that it's come before council, Mr. Mitchell?
Through the Chair, the document that's in tonight's draft agenda is the same document that was sent out to public consultation, but the next iteration, which is in the process for the 12th of June, will provide the next update for members.
So if councillors want an update to be applied, should they prepare motions and perhaps just circulate them informally so that they can be added to that agenda item on 12th of June? Is that the best way forward?
Yes, Mayor Hannah, that's certainly the best way forward.
Right, so you've got that, members. If you have an additional item of expenditure that's costed, etc., and you want to influence the budget, it's virtually, well, it's almost last chance. Prepare it, circulate it. When the motion is moved on the 12th of June in relation to the draft business plan at that time, you can add it in. If you want something taken out, you can do that at that time. But if you want to bob up on the night and just move a motion, you are entitled to do so, but it may just be that your fellow councillors don't want to entertain it because they might want to have thought about it first. All right. Councillor Hull, speaking to the motion about feedback. You're seconding it? Okay, thanks. No one else has? Excellent. Thank you. Did you want to speak to it, Councillor Hull? 3 minute maximum?
No, as much as you might want to draw the meeting out, Mr. Chair, I'm going to play the game.
Thank you. We haven't had much humour so far, so thanks for that. Anyone else speaking? No? All those in favour, raise your hand. It's carried unanimously. Thank you. So now we're on to an item that Councillor Hull was waiting for, council subsidiaries. So Councillor Hull's question, manager, Mr. Mifsud, would like to handle that. Thank you.
Thank you, through the Chair. Just draw Councillor Hull's attention to the last council meeting. You may recall in response to Councillor Hull's motion on electricity and cogeneration, we discussed at length about the significant number of things that are being done in exactly this area already. And in tonight's report, you can see as part of the SWARA business plan, there's a commitment from the board to investigate a whole host of things, whether it's cogeneration of energy, environmental aspects, and also a recycling facility as a potential aspect. So there is a significant amount of things that have already been done, which Councillor Hull recognised and acknowledged at the last meeting, and we're doing that and more moving forward, as is detailed in tonight's report.
So now, before we move, I note that there's SWARA and there's Council Solutions, both in the same motion. I can understand why they're lumped together, but they are very, very different creatures. I would like to ask for a sort of a two-sentence summary in relation to Council Solutions. How much do we pay them and how much do we get back in terms of benefit? Please.
Yep, yourself, Your Worship. Basically, we don't pay them directly unless there's a specific significant project, as there is here for the Waste Management Services project, which is an out-of-the-ordinary project. What happens on the arrangements through the Council Solutions contracts with the constituent councils, Council Solutions actually gets effectively a margin, if you want to put it in simple terms, or a rebate, which is what funds Council Solutions' ability to operate as they do. And then the savings that are achieved through the contracts that are negotiated come straight back to Council. So last year it was estimated for this current financial year, the estimate of savings that we've achieved through our Council Solutions arrangement is more than $750,000.
Thank you. And is that $750,000 based on sort of existing contracts, or is that in respect of new arrangements this financial year?
Through you, Your Worship, it's a combination of both. It's predominantly existing contracts, but it also does take into consideration any new procurements that are put in place during the financial year.
Right. Thank you. So, Councillor Pryor?
You have a question through the chair for Mr. Scull. Do you think we're getting full value out of council solutions?
Mr. Scull.
Solutions, their spend on procurement is $500 million out of a total council spend with the 68 councils of $1.5 billion, so it's a third, and it's a powerful block. And it's a long-winded answer for me to say that we could do a lot better, and certainly the CEOs are talking about opportunities to do procurement together far better than we do. It's good, but we could do better on the number of items that councils buy.
Thank you. Councillor Hull?
Mayor, I'm happy to move a motion on this, but getting back to the point about definitions and key words in terms of searching for items, unless we have a staff member around in 5 years' time that recalls that this was under the heading council subsidiaries, if we did a search on council solutions or SWARA, we're not going to find it. And I think that two things here, they need to be identified separately.
Separate reports, I'd agree with that.
Separate reports, and there needs to be a lot more diligence and monitoring of these quangos that are acting on council's behalf, given the amount, substantial amount of monies they hold in their accounts on our behalf. I just think that they don't get the scrutiny that we get. They don't have media in their audience when they're having their meetings, but they hold a substantial amount of our money and other councils' monies as well. So I'm happy to move two motions here, separating the two and having the header, Southern Region Waste Authority and Council Solutions, so in good time we can actually search back and easily find what happened on the 22nd of May in regards to those entities. No, it'll be one plus three. So it's creating two separate motions, if I could.
So three only relates to one?
Oh, what, three only... It's for two. Yeah, if you got my drift.
If I can just clarify through the chair, if that's okay. Recommendation one relates solely to SWARA. Recommendations two and three relate solely to council solutions.
So, Councillor Hull, did you want to separate and resolve this by way of two separate motions?
Yeah.
Yes, okay. So
along
you're moving
the lines of Mr. Mifsud's.
Yeah, you're moving.
It's interesting that waste management services are actually under council solutions and not under our waste resource authority. So
because it's basically a tender for collection of waste. It's a different thing.
Sure.
So as for the SWARA report, the motion to support their business plan and budget, that's being moved by Councillor Hull. Is that seconded? Councillor Crossland.
And I also had a question, Your Worship, which I was hoping to do before.
Go ahead.
I'm happy to second both motions. My question relates to Council Solutions, and that is, I know at the moment we've heard that they are estimates of the savings were made, but I wondered if I could just maybe ask staff to spot check a couple to actually see if they are realistic savings and see what we would get if we negotiated or we and another council negotiated, just to prove that they are realistic savings for us, please.
Right. Did you want to speak further to the motion?
And speaking on the motion, just to address maybe some of Councillor Hull's concerns, I can't speak about council solutions, but fortunately SWARA has a lot of oversight, independently audited. It has oversight from usually three separate general managers from three different councils, and also has three plus three deputy councillors overseeing everything that happens at SWARA. So gets three times more the oversight than City of Marion does.
Thank you. I was going to respond to those allegations by Councillor Hull as well. So Councillor Crossland has outlined the oversight in respect of SWARA, and we're only talking about that at the moment. But since the questions were raised together, Mr. Scull, do you want to just advise on the City of Marion involvement in council solutions and the oversight?
The oversight's via the six CEOs who sit on the board of Council Solutions, independent chair, and certainly it gets quite a lot of scrutiny. Independent audit committee to that as well, and independent auditing of the financial accounts. So similar to SWARA. And in fact, I think all Section 41 committees have to have that.
Thank you. So it's been moved and seconded. Anyone speaking against? Then I'll put the motion. All those in favour? It's carried unanimously. Now Councillor Hull to move and Councillor Crossland to second clauses 2 and 3 in relation to Council Solutions. So moved by Councillor Hull, seconded Councillor Crossland. Any further discussion? No. I'll put the motion. All those in favour? That's carried unanimously. Thank you. On to page 155. Now members are aware that generally I try and discourage Council, the City of Marion Council, being used as a vehicle for state or federal political agendas, but if Council wants to make an exception, they're welcome to do so. Councillor Hull to move.
Thank you for allowing this to happen, Mr. Mayor, and thank you for the staff to rush this forward. It is time critical, and look, as extraordinary as the Mayor may feel that this is, it is simply us throwing our support behind our First Nation people and indicating to them that on their behalf we actually feel that there should be a better outcome than currently exists for the what is known as the Uluru Agreement. And I just think that this is a substantial reconciliation gesture. This is walking the talk, members. We fly the Aboriginal flag every day, and we've done that for years now, but this sort of stuff is walking the talk, throwing a bit of substance behind the rhetoric, and I'm pleased to say that this was generated by key staff working within the Reconciliation Action Planning Committee, which I'm a member of, and I congratulate them for bringing it to our attention and the expediency that they've actually created in bringing this back to us. I recommend the motion.
I suppose that's a question whether any particular council is here for all of the First Nation people of Australia or whether we're just here for the local Kaurna people. Councillor Byrum, seconded. Did you wish to speak?
I support what Bruce has said, and I do commend the staff from the Reconciliation Action Plan Working Group. Yes, it is a case of we need to be able to submit this from Council. I'm glad we've been able to get a bit of an extension of time so as Council can do that, so that we're not just doing individual submissions on this. So I do recommend it.
So, Councillor Hull, it's what's on the screen that you're moving, right? It was. And Councillor Byrum, you're on the same page as well? So the option here is not to seek an extension of time, but to go ahead with a succinct statement of support, if Council wishes. Well, just to clarify that, what I'm against is the fact that we overwork everything in this place. Someone comes up with an idea, someone comes up with a 10-page report to support it. And in this case, as I say, my framework for this, that it's actually not Council's business, doesn't change. But if we're going to do it, then what's the point delaying it till after the closing date and waste time and energy on a 10-page submission when the Joint Select Committee is probably not going to read much further than four lines of any submission anyway. That was my point. So that's why I encourage staff to actually get on and write a statement of support for Council rather than just defer it and then spend 2 weeks drafting a beautiful, elaborate statement in support. So, Councillor Byrum, are you comfortable seconding? Thank you. Councillor Crossland.
Thank you, Your Worship. I'm just not 100% sure what it's actually saying. I wondered if someone could put it into layman's terms rather than what we're reading or have read.
First of all, it only makes sense if you read it in conjunction with the statement that's on page 157. So there was a meeting of Aboriginal people from around Australia. They came out with that statement as an expression of their aspirations, and it's summarised in the short sentence that has been prepared for consideration tonight. So at the heart of it, it's about recognition of Indigenous people in the Constitution. It's about some sort of agreement or treaty, and it's about having a voice in the form of some organisation for Aboriginal people across Australia.
Thank you. So basically a more legislative group of people that can have their opinions heard as that type of group.
Oh, I think it's fair to say that was left open. In terms of that statement, it's left open. Any further speakers? Otherwise, I'll put the motion. All those in favour? All those against? Carried by majority. Thank you. Now, page 158, Oaklands Rail Crossing. So this is where the State Planning Authority is seeking Council's view on stage one of the Oaklands Crossing development, particularly focusing on the tree damaging activities, which I suppose is euphemistic for cutting them down, and new car parking. Councillor Hull.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Now, after discussion with staff today, there is a motion that's been prepared, I understand. However, I do want to moderate that. It's a simple matter of the expression of the line of engineering.
Councillor Hull, just to interrupt, do you know which staff member might have a copy of this motion you're talking about?
Mr. Catanar, yep.
Mr. Catanar's got something, so that'll be provided to Ms. Thwaites for recording in just a moment.
There'll be a subtle amendment to that,
right,
after advice I received from Mr. Catanar.
So you're moving a motion, and we'll put that up shortly. So you're going to speak to it now?
Yeah, well,
okay.
Essentially, it's in line with expressions from the community that they prefer not to see the trees decimated as proposed, that we actually try and keep to the current alignment of the railway line as much as possible. However, on the advice received this afternoon, I'm now looking at a medium tracking of the rail line. In other words, not the current track, but a little bit to the south of that. So basically we're going to go straight down the middle as much as possible to avoid interference with trees or tree roots either side. I do appreciate there is going to be a big trench in there, and that's understood. Now, I'm sure if we were to actually engineer the track to go down the very middle, because particularly if there's no trains coming through there, it does create opportunities to realign the track wherever we want it to be. Now, I am of the view that if we don't have trains going through there, it means the project should progress quicker. It makes common sense. However, staff will tell me that dip tyre saying it will take longer. Well, go figure. I don't know how that could possibly be. I do accept that if we leave the alignment on the current rail track, that would impact on the trees to the north. So that's why I'm suggesting we have a medium tracking of the railway line through the middle of the gap between the trees. Now, the other thing that we'll do, Mr. Mayor, is it will require commuters to catch a bus that would normally use the Seaford line. This happened during electrification. It seemed to work reasonably well. And as much as I would not like to see anybody inconvenienced. It will be better than having our people inconvenienced. What I'm getting at is that given that it will be a train, a go-slow area for the train will be coming through very slowly because it's entering the worksite. That means the railway gates will be down even longer than what they currently are. If you go to Brompton, if you went to Brompton during the thick of the same sort of development over there, near Plant 4, the outer harbour line was closed, and there was horrendous traffic issues going through there every day for people. Now, you think of Oakland's Crossing and put trains into the mix, it's our people that will be disadvantaged, but the Seaford people coming up from Onkapringa and further will actually be doing just fine. So this is to avoid traffic chaos of a grand scale in our own patch and also save the trees, Mr. Mayor. So if that motion is up there, we haven't got it up there yet. But that's pretty much the nuts and bolts. Now, these trees, there's a lot more significant trees there than I first thought. When Nathan Pryor and myself went over there to meet with Deptai staff, they glossed over this and said, oh, you know, there's one over there, that's the only one we're going to have to remove. Well, that's not true. There's a whole lot of other significant trees and regulated trees that have got to go. It's troubled me for a long time, and it's a relief for me to take this position on behalf of the community, Mr. Mayor, that we might have a way of saving these trees if the government wants to do that. Now, I do understand that Mr. Wingard has a fairly obstinate approach to this. So be it. It's game on. If he doesn't want to represent the local community and give these trees a chance and give our traffic management a chance and be responsible for traffic chaos during the construction phase, then that's on his head. So it won't be maintained the existing railway line. It will actually provide the rail corridor through the middle of the trees, reducing as much as possible impacts on trees on both sides of the railway line. So we're finding a way through the middle. It's a fairly wide area there. If you take the platform particularly out of the equation on the southern side. And the other part of the motion is to increase...
I'm sure you've had your three minutes. I think you've had about five, to be honest.
No need to yell at me. I didn't hear any bell, sorry.
No, well, I'll be the bell. Just to let you know that, I mean, I've had it from the highest levels at DIT-T that the difference in construction... Well, the difference in downtime for the railway is radical in the sense that it's a matter of weeks if the DIPTI plan goes ahead. It'll be over a year of downtime if it's done on the traditional construction manner of replacing the existing track. So your amendment certainly raises a question of whether you've had engineering advice on whether your motion's even practical and possible. I mean, I don't know exactly why that alignment was chosen, but presumably some engineers got together in a room and said that that was the preferred approach. So is it possible, from a practical point of view, to have the alignment which you are suggesting?
Well, Mr. Mayor, we won't find out unless we actually put this to the government. At the end of the day, the government will do what they want to do. I'm putting it to the government that it's the people of Marion that is foremost in our thoughts and not the commuters coming up from Seaford who might be inconvenienced for, you say, up to 12 months, but I say it's less because they should be able to get on with it quicker with no trains going through there.
Oh, if you're the expert, that's
it just seems to be a common sense outlook.
Right. Well, over to others. Is that seconded?
So, no, I'll stress again, we're not maintaining existing rail alignment. It is finding a medium through the middle that for the rail corridor to not impact on trees.
I have to say that the normal practice is to bring up motions in writing if you have them. It would have been useful.
Well, I spent some time on the phone today with staff. What else have I got to do?
Well, you have to make sure that you've got something prepared before the meeting, ideally.
Well, I spent all day on council business between the ERD court and this. So, you know, I don't know what else I've
all
got
right,
to do.
All right. Well, you dictate right now what you want to be your motion.
I'm trying to do that.
All right.
The information I got was only just before the meeting, moments before the meeting, about the fact that if it was on the existing alignment, there still would be a significant loss of trees. And I understand that. But if we actually can take the railway line right down the middle of the corridor...
Would someone like to adjourn the meeting for 5 minutes? Moved Councillor Crossland, seconded Councillor Pryor. All those in favour? All those against? It's carried by majority. So we'll come back, according to this clock, it's 8:41, so we'll come back at 8:46. That'll give Councillor Hull a chance to make sure that the motion is to his liking. Thank you.
That's pretty much it, Benny. Thank you. If it can't be done, no, they'll tell us. But it's their project. At the end of the day, it's their project. We're only making comment. It's their project.
Can I call everyone back to order, please? So can I have everyone's attention, please? So just to let you know that Mayor Hannah has gone off sick and has asked me to take the chair. So we're looking at this motion by Councillor Hull. Okay, now, are we right with the wording, Councillor Hull, and would you like to just finalise your talking to that wording?
Yeah, thank you. Yes, look, point 2A is pretty much on the mark of what I'm looking for. Find our way through that corridor of trees and reduce the number of trees impacted. Retain existing regulated and significant trees. Now, that's a notional thing. If it means that we lose a few, okay, but nothing like what we're losing a forest at the moment. Increase off-street parking as part of the project. Well, I think 11 additional car parks as proposed is not enough for a major project like this. So, look, at the end of the day, Madam Deputy Mayor, this is a matter for the state government. They've asked us for comment. They've asked the community for comment. It's interesting that the project team is going to come along and brief us next week after we make this decision. That's fascinating. And not only that, I had begged this project team to put out advice about these trees time and time again to try and give the community heads up what's being proposed. They've failed to do so, and I'm just chuffed that our staff are trying to pick up the slack with that. Mr. Craig Clark has been beavering away trying to prepare documents to be distributed to the community. We're going to do it. DIPTI have failed their obligations once again with community engagement, and we're picking up the slack on that, and let the community make comment during this consultation period that flows from this. We simply managed to have a comment now, and then the community, once it goes to the SCAP, have an opportunity to make comment then. Now, if we're going to live up to our green credentials, Madam Mayor, we can't tell developers they can't cut down regulated or significant trees. We do that all the time, and we take them to court if they do so. But in this case, we can cut down all these trees, and we don't even make the effort, maybe creating some inconvenience for commuters, to actually avoid that. But the other, just in closing, it is avoiding the traffic chaos that will flow from having trains entering that area, which is a work zone, going slow. It will mean the railway gates will be closed much, much more than what they currently are, and also have the roadworks that will happen just like happened over at Brompton. So that's it. If members can see the wisdom in this, they'll support me.
Yes, I think it's very worthwhile protecting trees when we can, so I commend the motion.
Yes, I'm wondering if the mover would consider in number one, advises the State Commission that Council supports the Oaklands Crossing Stage 1, leaves out the rest, because I think number 1 and 2 are at odds. If you support in principle at the top, how can you say you're going to retain all the trees?
So yeah, that's a good point. So
you would like the words taken out in principle?
No. Supports in principle the Oaklands Crossing stage one, full stop.
Right, so remove the development application number or just the tree damaging activities in your car parking?
I think, in my mind, both could be removed, but it's up to the mover.
I think that there needs to be some reference as to what this is about. Why is this thing?
So that would mean we would retain the actual application number of what it refers to, but take out the reference to the trees and the car parking. Councillor Westwood, are you in agreeance to that change 2.1?
Thank you, yes, ma'am.
All right, anyone talking against the motion? Then I put the motion. All those in favour? Those against? I just declaring my vote, I'm voting against. So division's been called. All those in the affirmative, please stand. One, two, three, four, five. Sorry, it's Councillor Kerry, Councillor Telfer, Councillor Hull, Councillor Westwood and Councillor Velescu. Those against are Councillor Pfeiffer, Councillor Hutchinson, Councillor... Sorry, could you, the people in affirmative stand again, please? Councillor Hutchinson, Councillor Pryor, Crossland were against. So now it's tied. Okay, we'll just restate that. Those in the affirmative are Councillor Pfeiffer, Councillor Kerry, Councillor Telfer, Councillor Hull, Councillor Westwood and Councillor Velescu. Those against are Councillor Hutchinson, Pryor, Crossland and Byron. Okay. The motion is carried.
I note that we've got a very unusual situation with asset sustainability and asset sustainability ratio. To actually catch up, the asset sustainability spending will be much, much higher than 100%, and yet our ratio, our current position is less than 79%. So I talked with the finance manager this afternoon about how that would equalise over time if we can continue with our upgrading of our infrastructure so that our asset levels improve such that we fit nicely in this bracket.
Thank you. Anyone speaking against the motion? Then I put the motion. All those in favour? That's carried unanimously. Moving on to the next one, community grants, round two on page 185. Someone to move the motion? Councillor Crossland, seconded Councillor Westwood. Do you wish to speak to the motion?
I've sent an alternative wording for this motion through to Ms. Waits.
We're just getting that up.
Maybe then it should
Can you talk to that while you're waiting for that to come up?
Yes, thank you. I've got rid of point two as sort of irrelevant to what we're talking about, but I've put the motion forward which removes one grant, and that's the grant to the Merino Hall. The reason for that is, as members are aware, we're looking at more strategic opportunities for the hall. It's already got a significant amount of money provided to it by David Spears, $50,000, which the hall committee are aware that they can potentially double that money to $100,000 through our community partnership funding. I have spoken to the presiding member of the committee and explained that if, as a committee, they are looking at larger strategic options, I don't think spending money putting air conditioning into a building is probably the best way to go. So at this stage, I'm recommending that we don't start spending additional money on that hall until we've made a decision on its future.
Councillor Westwood, are you in agreement to that change to that motion?
Well, could I ask a question of the staff, please? And that is, yes, is there a way, a path to hold over those funds for at least a short time?
Through the chair, this is round two of our annual grants, and the as it's presented at the moment, it would fully subscribe the grants. I guess you could suggest that we hold them to the end of the year, but normally we'd spend them this year, and the options would be to reallocate this $2,500 across other nominations, to hold it for, say, a month, or to not allocate that money.
Question, Councillor Hull?
Yes, it's one about a conflict of interest. I noticed the Corner Uniting Church is one of the bidders. It's an interesting one that my family, go there quite regularly, but I'm also the council liaison on that, particular church as well.
Councillor Hull, I believe that liaison appointments does not create a conflict of interest for you on this grants application, but I'll check with governance on that. That is correct. Doesn't create a conflict of interest. Flo Westwood.
No, I wouldn't be happy to exclude that amount at this stage. I mean, that is a relative.
So you're withdrawing your seconding
okay.
of the motion.
Yes,
that's
yes,
fine. Do we have a seconder for that current motion? Councillor Hutchinson, do you wish to speak to it? No. Do I have anyone speaking against the motion? So all those in favour? Those against? The motion's carried by majority. Right, we're moving on to innovative smart initiatives on page 199. Right, do I have anyone to move the motion? Councillor Hutchinson, a seconder? Councillor Pryor, do you wish to speak to the motion? Councillor Hutchinson? Councillor Pryor? No? Anyone speaking? A question? Sorry? Speak to the motion? I can allow it because we haven't had anyone speak to it, so I will allow it, Councillor Velisco.
I'd just like to reflect some of the comments at the committee that you know, we don't do smart for smart's sake. We do it something that will benefit the community. So, you know, we could put sensors somewhere to know something totally irrelevant and spend thousands of dollars, or we can make a small change and actually provide quite a dividend both for the staff who would use that smart technology but also for the community. And I look forward to being able to get some of that information back to see how we can actually deliver. You know, we just have to be very careful of catchphrases and things, and there are a lot of sectors of the business community that are very happy to speak to councils about and offer consulting services about, you know, being smart and how we can be smart, and we can be dazzled by that sort of stuff, but we really need to look at the practicality, and I think that's the most important thing, that being smart needs to be practical.
Thank you. Anyone speaking against the motion? Question? Councillor Hull?
In terms of our terminology, I did read somewhere that we're going to position ourselves as being smart followers or words to that effect. I'm not particularly comfortable with us positioning ourselves as followers. The City of Marion has often been a leader, and we make those decisions in a very considered way. We don't take risks with the community's money. So I just want to, maybe if the administration could park that comment, because if we can find ourselves a little bit, our aspirations a bit higher than that, I'd feel better about it. In other words, we make considered leadership decisions would be better. Thank you.
Anyone speaking against the motion? No, then I'll put the motion. All those in favour? That's carried unanimously. Right, moving on to Glandore Oval Cricket Nets on page 207. Someone to move the motion? Councillor Pfeiffer.
Thank you, Your Worship. Look, I'll move it as written. I'll just note that this is, of course, the one that I advocated that we take off the table a couple of months ago, just so that we could do a little bit more work on it and properly understand the ramifications for it a little bit better. I'm now comfortable and satisfied that that has appropriately occurred, and I'm happy to put my name to it. Thank you.
Seconder? Councillor Kerry, do you wish to speak? Anyone speaking against the motion? And I put the motion. All those in favour? Carried unanimously. Thank you. Moving on to corporate reports for information or noting, we've got on page 214 the management model for regional facilities and the progress report. So do we have, sorry, Councillor Hutchinson?
All the items in corporate reports on block.
Yes, more than happy to take that. Do I have a seconder for that? Yes, all those in favour? Yep. Councillor Crosswell, sorry. All right, so that's moving to put them all together. So now I ask for someone to move that we note all those reports. Sorry, is that one? So that's what you were saying to do. Yes, that's fine. Sorry. Did you have a question, Councillor Westwood? No. No, that's fine. Sorry, we've done it. Cross that section whole off. We've done it. That's good. Let's move on.
Vote.
I did. Thank you. It's getting late. All those in favour? Thank you, Councillor Westwood. You were telling me the right thing. That was unanimous. Thank you. All right. We're looking at matters raised by members now. Motions with notice going to page 254. Councillor Hull, did you... 254. Motions with notice, your protocol for confidential matters at designated informal gatherings. That came under the... that was in the en bloc.
Thank you.
10 seconds. Thank you, Councillor Hull. Do we have someone to second that motion? Councillor Westwood, do you wish to speak to it?
Yes, briefly, but I would couch it in slightly different terms, maybe, in that I think that we are becoming more accustomed to new legislation environment. So I think that it's not necessarily a great wrongdoing by the organisation, but maybe not as it should be. So I think that these measures will be more in line with what the community expects. But I certainly support the motion.
Councillor Westwood, can I just question you on your first words? You said you would like different words for the motion. Does that mean you're actually moving this motion or you're wanting to make changes?
No, I'm just putting the explanation and couching that in different words, that's all. Thank you.
Councillor Pfeiffer, you have a question?
Yeah, thank you, Your Worship. Look, I was just wondering, without putting anyone on the spot, whether we could get the thoughts of our governance manager, Ms McKenzie, on this. I think it could be really useful.
Through the chair, a couple of points I think that was raised by Councillor Hull. Our policy has been adopted by council for quite a while. Our policy has been reviewed by the minister. The minister did do a review of all of the policies for the informal gatherings when these first came in. And from my understanding of that background, that our policy is satisfactory. Informal gatherings are not decision-making forums, and I think we've made that really clear. That means that you cannot make a formal recommendation to move into confidence, and the minister is fully aware of that, and that is why they have made those provisions in there to say that discussions of a strategic nature can be considered in confidence. I think members would appreciate that we try to make the forums as open and transparent as possible. We've only been moving into confidence when it has been extremely necessary to do so, and we follow our process and make sure that that is popped up on the website when we have advance notice to do that. My view on this, and I understand that members are looking for that further transparency, the papers that we have for our elected member forums, we consider them as working documents. Quite often the matters that are coming up to forums are still in their infancy. They're still being worked through. We don't release those publicly for the very nature that there is quite often no decision on them. And we're also in a position where sometimes we're not in a position to start releasing things publicly. I personally think that this might be a little bit of an overkill. It may create further reporting for the sake of reporting, because we'll be having to prepare further council reports to bring up, and our policy is currently complying with what the requirements of the legislation say.
Councillor Velisco and then Councillor Hutchinson.
Look, I don't mind if there's a little bit more of a register of the sort of things that we've talked about, but I don't think this is necessary. My concern is that it's not up to us to actually make the interpretation on what should be confidential, because there may be commercial issues that we would think, I'm not happy about this potential commercial situation and I want it out there. But if it goes out there through council, we're liable, and then our ratepayers are liable. And that's the thing. And I've heard people that don't seem to understand or accept some of the commercial in confidence discussions that we have to have in confidence, because of that nature. And, you know, otherwise we would get taken to the cleaners by the people whose information we're discussing, because it has to be private. And that's my whole concern about some of these things in this process. I remember previous councils where we've got it really good. We do have a high level of transparency. It's welcoming to actually see the media come to our forums and cover those discussions. And perhaps, you know, some of our discussions are a bit more off the cuff, but hey, it's open to the media, it's open to the public, and there's a whole lot more transparency in this council term than I believe there has been for at least the other two terms that I've been on there. So I don't think this is necessary. And you know, whilst I accept that, you know, Councillor Hull, through the chair, you know, he's wanting to not have secrecy on that sort of thing, and we had a win on the DAP deliberations being done in public. I don't think that this is actually an issue for this council. And if it were, I'll definitely be supportive, but I don't think at this stage it is.
Councillor Hutchinson.
Thank you, Your Worship. Whilst I support Councillor Hull's intent here, I just wanted to clarify whether it's within our remit to be able to put this extra layer, you know, over the top, and whether it is actually ultra-virus.
I think council could do it, but what it means is that every time something is discussed in confidence, it would then have to be presented to the next council meeting and have a further confidential order placed over it. My view is that it's just creating another layer of administrative work that needs to be required, which has been requested, which isn't actually required under the Act.
Okay, so my second follow-up question to that is, in between the time period between the forum and a formal motion going to council, is it not then there's no legal binding agreement then if council are taking a secondary step and it's not yet confidential? You know what I mean? There's almost a window of opportunity, although we've said it's confidential at the forum, and then we're saying, well, it's not binding until we've actually put it to council. That's what I'm just trying to get my head around.
It would still be binding under the policy. So if an elected member decided to release some information that was deemed as part of a confidential discussion, there'd still be an allegation that that would be a breach of a policy, which would then translate to a code of conduct matter for an elected member.
Councillor Pryor.
Yeah, I'd like to untangle this a little bit more. Like, if we were looking at a recent confidential meeting, which we had as an informal gathering, how would I access notes or minutes from that meeting? Because I don't know whether there was any minutes or formal minutes kept. So now it becomes a question of...
That's correct. So informal gatherings don't have minutes because they're not decision-making forums. And so on that very purpose, because there's always the argument, if it quacks like a duck, it is a duck. And so if you've got minutes, formal agendas, decision-making items, you would start to argue that it is a decision-making forum, such as a committee or something like that. Hence why elected member forums, we have a briefing paper, and then it is based around the discussion that actually happens there.
Any further questions? Councillor Telfer. Speaking against the motion.
But I don't think in reality the workings work. I believe that it would be most difficult to have information in a confidential nature and then record it and then bring it to a following council meeting, which may not get looked at that time, so it may go on for another fortnight. So I think it undoes the whole nature of the essence being the discussion and the understanding rather than the decision making.
Anyone speaking for the motion? I then put the motion. All those in favour? Oh, sorry. Yes, Councillor Hull, I allow you to close.
Members, I want to emphasise this is about record keeping. It's not about releasing willy-nilly information. I'm not into that. If it's implied that that's what I do, I resent it. It's record keeping 101. Because as somebody just said to me, today, if it's not written down somewhere, it didn't happen. So there's no record. If there's an inquiry, what are you going to show? You know, this is not how we should be operating. And we had broad headings, like major project update, the whole night, confidential, multiple items. Where's the transparency in that? There's no transparency at all. In fact, it's cloaked to deceive. It's cloaked to actually put people off the scent that there's something that important that Marion's discussing. Now, the other thing is,
regardless of what you think, I have had the strong impression that there's tacit approval sought at those meetings. There might not be a show of hands, but there's a nod and a wink and a maybe, you know, look for body language. Oh, the elected members seem to be happy to progress with that. Silence around the room. That's what is happening. And that is not the spirit of the Brock intervention. In fact, his intervention was to avoid those sort of situations happening. So, I just think that this might not remedy all of the things that I have concerns about, but at least it's going to have more accountability in terms of matters that we feel that are confidential. Now, some of these confidential items are whoppers. They're big. They're of huge community interest, bigger community interest than a lot of the things that are discussed in these formal settings, but there's no record of it. And we heard concerns raised before about the project that went pear-shaped up north. What was that? That was Gilman. Well, you know, if you want another Gilman, continue down the track we're currently on. Because what it does, it creates the conspiracy theorists, where people actually sense that things aren't right. And look, I've got to be honest with you, I've started sharing this with the Ombudsman myself. So it's up to you. You know, you could either sort this out or have the consequences of a proper inquiry.
I put the motion then. All those in favour? Those against? The motion is defeated. Moving on to questions with notice, and we have two questions there to note the vehicle fleet on the accident and damage.
Explain the answer to the questions about the fleet. If I was running a business and I had a fleet accident record like this, I would be very concerned. And I did ask the question about the claims excess. Now, it remains at $500 per claim. Now, I don't know about you, members, but my excess claim is not $500. It's more like $400. So why are we as a corporation paying more excess than the common people in the city through RAA? Now, I would like to, you know, if the administration can take it on notice that the elected members will be continuing to monitor this, that they are City of Marion vehicles, they're owned by the residents of the city. It's not a case that they feel that they're their own personal vehicle and they can knock it around as much as they like. I'd like to know from the CEO if he's concerned about the findings of Sherry Walczak in terms of the answers provided to me.
Through you, Your Worship.
Point of order, I've asked for the indulgence of the Chair. And
I did give that for this one.
Mm-hmm. Through you, Chair, I'm actually happy to respond to it. With the number of fleet that we've got and the amount of hours that they do on the road, I would expect, sadly, that there's some dings and bings and scratches. The question from Councillor Hull is, am I concerned about it? I'm always concerned that our council incurs cost, which is avoidable, and so I don't lose sleep about the number of accidents that we have, but certainly I would prefer, of course, as would all of us in administration and council, that we had fewer. So concerns, yes.
Thank you.
On the other question, Madam Deputy Mayor...
I haven't allowed discussion on that one, and I won't allow that one, because I do have a conflict of interest on that, and you probably do too, being a representative on your second one.
It's not a planning matter. It's a public health matter.
Yes, but if you're doing representational things, we won't allow discussion on that tonight. Councillor Bilisku, you have a question?
It is a question without notice. Just in previous discussion, if a member...
Wait a minute. I'm not there yet. Questions without notice, we're not at. Motions without notice. Does anyone have any motions without notice tonight? No? Now I'll allow a question without notice. Councillor Bilisku.
Just obviously for our knowledge, are councillors able to say that they're going to the Ombudsman on an issue, or do we need to be, or does that have to be quiet, or is that ICAC? I'm not sure about that. Obviously, there is a level of secrecy. Now, they may change with the legislation, but obviously, unless that would come at a certain point. So I was just curious about that.
Through the chair, there's nothing stopping. There's no formal investigation that we're aware of or that we could talk about. If there was, when things move into investigation stages, then quite often there is confidential provisions around that, and we do need to keep things in confidence. But I believe, because there's nothing in place, it doesn't stop someone from saying I've made a complaint or I'm going down that path. There's nothing that precludes that.
Different for ICAC? Yep.
Well, again, it's if there's nothing actually in place yet, anyone can make a comment saying I'm going to make a complaint to ICAC. It doesn't mean that they're actually going to pick up and do anything with it.
Please get some clarity on that. Just not more so the, I guess, we don't want people, you know, thinking they're doing the right thing and actually undermining themselves as part of the issue to, I guess, look at what could be an issue.
Thank you, Councillor Bilisku. Are there any other questions without notice? Any other business staff? It was put as a question. We can do it as a question on notice for next meeting. Is that what you're requesting? It was a question put to staff that need to be come back and answered. Staff will take that on. Okay. All right. I declare the meeting closed at 9:27.